This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Thank you. Elder Roger Curtis joins us with the Kingdom of God sermon extract.
Right, talking about the Kingdom of God today. As the people of God, we're called to a kingdom. We're called out of the world and we're called into a kingdom which is run by God.
Amen.
Okay? And Jesus says that that kingdom actually gets planted in our hearts to start with. That's where it begins. It's a small thing. It's like a seed. But everything in that seed that is required for us to participate in the kingdom of God is in that seed. And the more room we give that seed to grow, the more water we water it with, that seed grows. Just as in the natural, so in the spiritual. We have to allow that seed of the word of God, the kingdom of God, to grow within us. So there's going to be some changes. There's going to be some changes because we don't know how to live in the kingdom of God. We don't know how to operate in the kingdom of God when we first come in to the kingdom. There's going to be some changes. Right, in Genesis 1:28, God gets right down to business with man. This is the first thing he ever said to man and woman. This is the first thing. So we need to take notice of this and see God's call to kingdom is right here in this first conversation that God had with man and woman. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." That is a call to kingdom, and he was calling Adam to participate in what he had, what God had created. Okay, he blessed them and he said, the first thing he said to them was, "Be fruitful." Now, being fruitful is not for your benefit, it's for others. So the first thing God said to them was all about looking outwards, not inwards. Being fruitful is about others. My apple trees grow apples for me, not for themselves. The fruit on an apple tree has no benefit to the tree. It has benefit to me, but not to itself. Are we getting this today? God is saying to us, if we want to participate in the kingdom, it's about being fruitful. So God has called us to kingdom to be fruit bearers. He also calls on us to multiply. God's a happy God. Okay? He told us to multiply before any of that sin stuff took place. Now we should be doing our best to multiply. Seriously. God's into multiplication. He's not into addition. He's into multiplication. Have you noticed there are a few billion people on the planet today? Starting off with Adam and Eve, and there are... Have you noticed there's a bit of multiplication taking place? As part of the kingdom of God, we are to multiply. It's not about just little old me and taking care of little old me. It's about multiplication. And that's a good thing. God actually repeated this command in the book of Genesis 6 or 7 times. Said it again to Noah. Multiply. That was the call. And yet we hear today that there's too many people on planet Earth. Well, maybe God got it wrong. Maybe this planet's not big enough for all of us. Now these next two words here that are highlighted here, these are strong words. Fill the earth and govern. This is a call to kingdom. This word can be translated subdue, bring into bondage. Strong words. We are to govern. First of all, we have to learn how to govern ourselves and not just cruise down that unholy highway to hell. We're to fill the earth and we are to govern. We govern ourselves. And we govern where God has planted us. This is part of kingdom stuff. This is part of the kingdom of God. Strong words. He said, reign. That's a kingdom word again. Reign over everything that has been created. Reign, that means to rule. God has given us this position of rulership on this planet because of his authority. Now, if we use all these things that God has created properly, we will be reigning. But when we misuse them, look what happens. So these are strong, strong words that God gave to man in the garden before any of the rubbish took place. Now, I say to you today that this word has not changed. If you're serious about the kingdom of God, these words apply to us today. Because I'm listening to what God is saying. And because what God says is eternal, it's just as relevant today as it was when he spoke to Adam 6,000 years ago. Are you with me?
Yes.
So these are strong words. This is not for pansies or poofters or pussies or wimps or woofters or wussies. It's not for the apathetic. It's not for the pathetic. It's not a whole lot of other words that my wife's told me I wasn't allowed to use in church today. This is kingdom business we're talking about. Okay? We are called to kingdom, rulership. Okay? Now, if we can't rule our own little part of this planet that God has planted us on, we've got problems. So the Bible starts off talking about kingdom and ruling and reigning, And it goes right through to the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:6 says, He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. Hallelujah. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. In Revelation 5:10 it says, He's made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Brothers and sisters, we are going to reign on the earth. Amen. When Jesus returns, we're going to be reigning with Him. Do you think we need to be practicing a little bit of that reigning right now? Amen. Yes, we do. Otherwise, when Jesus returns, it's going to be off to kindergarten for a lot of Christians. I kind of don't want to be back in kindergarten again. You know, I had my kindergarten years when I first came to the Lord. Now, God's kingdom is all about expansion. So there's going to be opposition. See, the opposition starts with our very flesh. But God's kingdom is about expansion. So if you're on the front lines of this expansion, there's going to be some skin and hair flying. There's going to be some shrapnel flying around because you're on the front lines of a war. Now, I know we like to kind of be comfortable in everything we do as Christians and that, but we've got to face the fact that we're in the front lines of a war. Okay? So there's going to be some stuff going on the front. I love the front lines. You might have guessed this. I love the front line stuff. I'm not kind of the one to be sitting back looking after the luggage, you know. Although people do that, that's okay. That's what they're into. But I'm into front line stuff. I'm into the old dynamite and the rock stuff, you know. Lighting the fuse and seeing what happens. So there's going to be some frontline stuff going on with our flesh to start with in order to be useful to the master. But then there's going to be some frontline stuff with the people that are around us because they're going to feel something, aren't they? They're going to feel some kingdom of God pressure, aren't they? Amen. They're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable in our presence, aren't they? Well, they should be, and I'm not going to be feeling uncomfortable in their presence because they've got the problem, I haven't. Let me give you a bit of perspective here because we kind of get a bit overwhelmed with all this negativity and earthly stuff. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Is there rebellion in heaven? No, there's not. Was there rebellion in heaven? And what happened to that rebellion? Faster, at the speed of light, the rebellion got kicked out of heaven. Did you read about that? Jesus saw the devil falling from heaven like lightning. That's pretty fast. Is there rebellion on earth? Yes, there is. There's rebellion in the hearts of men and the devil and his henchmen. That's where the rebellion is. But when you look at how big God is, this is just a little spot of rebellion. The kingdom of God is a big place. It's a very big place. And we're going to inherit that with Jesus. We are in the process of inheriting that. Amen? But because we see all this blung stuff around us all the time, we think, oh, this is heavy stuff. No, it's not. The rebellion is just a little pinprick in the whole cosmos of where God operates. You're getting this? But because we're on the front lines, we kind of think it's Mission Impossible. I like those movies too. They're good movies, Mission Impossible. Okay? It's Mission Possible, isn't it, Christians? It's Mission Possible. See? So let's get some perspective here. There's rebellion in a place below us called hell. All right? There's rebellion in the heavenlies where the devil operates at times. There's rebellion in our hearts. Everywhere else God is operating, things are ticking along how they should be ticking along. Isn't that right? So let's get some perspective on this so we're called to a kingdom. Amen. And it's exciting. It's really exciting. You know, when you see people turning from their rebellion, lifelong stuff that they've struggled with, and you see them turn and straighten their lives out because of Jesus, whoa, that gets me up in the morning. It really does. Okay? Looking forward to that. And I also really love saints that have got some miles on the clock. We've got quite a few of them in here today. There's some winners here today. Amen? All right, we've dealt with some stuff and we're still dealing with stuff and we're going on and it's all good, isn't that right? Let's hear an amen from the older ones in here. Come on, who's got some miles on the clock? All right, I want to hear from some of these people. Amen? Well, as Christians, we're also called not just to a kingdom, but to a king. Okay? This isn't just about a system that we learn to operate with. We're called to a person. His name is? And he is the king of this kingdom. Isn't that great? Isn't that cool? So we're called to a king. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to find out a bit more about this king. Because if I've been called to this kingdom, I want to know how the king operates. Because if I know how he's operating, then I'm going to be useful to him in his kingdom. And the way he operates is a lot different to the way I used to operate. So guess who's got to change? Not him. I think he's okay. I think he's got it sorted. What about you? Fortunately, there have been some people that God has raised up over the centuries that we can look at and study who were just like you and me, not perfect. So, yes, we can look at Jesus, but there's some stuff that he didn't have to do because he was perfect. Like, for example, repenting. Jesus never had to repent because he was always right and he was never wrong and his attitude was always spot on. I need to kind of look at some of the advice David gave about repenting, because obviously that's an important thing to be able to do in the kingdom of God. Is that right?
Amen.
It's right, all right. Because when there's no repentance, there's a whole lot of pride, and God said he's a long way from the proud man. So we've got to be ready to repent. Now, David was really good at repenting because he did some pretty stupid stuff, just like me. Okay? So he had to do some repenting. So one of the favorite places that I used to go to, especially in my early days with Brother Stuart, was Psalm 51. All right, now this is a really good psalm for those of you who want to know how to repent properly. And this was written for us by King David. And I can remember one or two times sitting under my apple tree at home reading Psalm 51 because I needed to repent. I'd done some stupid stuff, and I used to go to Psalm 51. So I used to get to know this psalm pretty well, and I used to read through it again and again and again. He was getting right with God based on what Jesus brought. You look at the language here. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. That's not Old Testament stuff. That's not atonement, covering. That's like, wash me. That sounds like New Testament stuff to me, doesn't it? See, David had a portion of God's Spirit there that was bringing revelation on how God was going to deal with sin through Jesus. And here's King David writing about it hundreds of years earlier. Can you see that? So this is not an Old Testament way of dealing with our sin. Wash me, purify me, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what's evil in your sight. Verse 5 is, I was born a sinner. Go down to verse 16. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. Come on, this was the Levitical way of bringing the people into God's presence, was through sacrifice and burnt offering. Yet Jesus is saying you don't desire that. God is not interested in our religious structures of penance, which is a real Catholic word. All right? The Catholic, it's not repentance, it's penance. You've got to do something to pay for your sin. Wrong. This is about the mercy of God. Here it is. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. See, David knew how to get right with God. And I've prayed this. I've prayed, Lord, I want a broken spirit. I don't want a proud, haughty, arrogant spirit. I want a broken spirit. You know why? Because God won't reject a broken spirit. This is how we repent properly. And it was given to us through King David. Isn't that great? Psalm 51. And then in the last verse of that, it was, you can look with favor on Zion and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So it changes from repentance then to intercession, where we can then start again praying for things that are on God's mind. We get right with God and we start praying, okay?
Thank you for tuning in to the Flaxmere Christian Fellowship Show.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.